Well, good evening. God bless you guys. Good to be able to be with Barney and Vicki one last time for a while. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 11. And this is Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving. And I saw this morning, and it kind of blessed me because I was thinking of how God, our Father, looks at us like children, and we should recognize ourselves as children and how they are and how we should be to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ really lays it out for us here. So I wanted to read it from the New Living Translation. So thought it was interesting how they translated it here. It says in verse 25, this prayer was, well, it says, at that time Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for really revealing them to the childlike. See, God is not complicated. It's mankind that complicates things. And if we could think as like a child to his Father, we just accept what he says and stop trying to, try to figure everything out. So in verse 26, he says, yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. That's how God is. He wants things to be simple. And so we should just read his word and keep it simple in our minds as children. Verse 27, he says, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. Okay, so that pretty much establishes that. And he also goes on to say, no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, Jesus Christ is the only one that truly knows the Father. And so that's why we want to get to know Jesus Christ. And he is our example, and he leads us into how to fellowship with our Heavenly Father, just like he does. Verse 28 says, then Jesus said, now he's talking to those after he lays that out, reminding them that, hey, you should be like children here. And he goes, then he says, come to me, all of you who are weary, which would probably include just about everybody, who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And I think most of us understand that the whole idea of the yoke is you get someone that's knowledgeable how to do it the right way, take that young one and train them how to do it on the same yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, he says. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your soul. Jesus Christ was humble and gentle at heart. I think the King James says lowliness of heart. So if he knew how to do it, then we ought to let him teach us. And to do that, we need to have meek and humble hearts. As he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. We may have our hard times, and I know we do, but if we just follow that simple instruction and just believe childlike, he'll get us through anything. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as how?
Dear children.
Yeah, dear children. And walk in love. You want to learn to walk in love as Christ did. He can teach you because we have Christ in us. We were humble enough, those of us that accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and believed God raised him from the dead, we were humble enough to accept that and believe it. And that gave us Holy Spirit. He gave us the way to our Heavenly Father. And it's that Spirit that will lead us to all truth. He says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Followers, imitators of God as dear children. And back in chapter 4, I'll close right here. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul praying for the believers, those children of God, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you were called. That was his prayer. That was, you know, he lovingly implored all of us to walk worthy of the calling. God has called us to walk a certain way. And Jesus Christ, he is the one that says he can teach us. And he says to do it with all lowliness and meekness. That's, again, what he said back there in Matthew. With long-suffering, forbearing, or upholding one another in love. He wants us to learn to walk like he walks, so we can know the Father. And so then, as we each walk like that, we can love like Jesus Christ loved. But it takes a childlike humbleness and meekness and not try to overthink everything. Just simply trust God and walk with him. So that's what I'd like to share. And I believe Jeanette was going to share next.
All right. Well, bless you, everybody. I'm going to share just a few verses with you, and I'm going to focus on a certain four-letter word. Uh-oh. What is she talking about? What four-letter word? Well, that four-letter word is W-A-I-T, wait on the Lord. Now, I know that can be a dirty word to some of us at some time, because we live in a society where we don't want to wait. But the Word of God says that we should wait on the Lord. And something that I heard the other morning actually inspired me on this little topic. It was given the example of a child. We all have probably witnessed this at one time or another. When a young child is, you know, asked for something of his parents, and the mother or father might say to him, not now, Johnny, but maybe, and they might not even finish that phrase because the child falls out on the floor crying because they think that it's a no. When the parent says not now, he didn't say no, or she, they said not now. You see, delay is not denial. That is the phrase that we use. And I thought, how insightful is that? Delay is not denial. And that led me to waiting upon the Lord. So, in Psalm 27:14, you may have heard this verse at one time or another. Psalm 27:14. Oh, I should have had my quick fingers on. Thank you for help here. Okay, 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I love how it repeats it in the same verse. You know, sometimes waiting does take courage. I mean, we don't really want to wait sometimes. But you know what? We need to at times. And sometimes it takes courage to be able to take a breath and say, okay, God, I am going to wait on you. And he will what? Strengthen our hearts. And then I'd like you to flip over 10 more books to Psalm 37. Book 7. Maybe. 10 more Psalms. Okay, sorry. Psalm 37. And in verse 7. Once again, it says in verse 7 of Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait how? Patiently for him. I'm going to stop right there because I want you to bump back to verse 3 because we're going to see a few keys here. It says, trust in the Lord in verse 3 of Psalm 37 and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it fast. So what we see here is that before God tells us to rest in him and wait patiently for him, first he says trust in him, delight yourself in him, and commit your way to him. I guess what? I think if we do those three things, it'll be a lot easier to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because God knows our hearts. And, hey, if he says for us to wait patiently, I think maybe that's a good idea. And actually, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Very familiar verses. These are some of my favorite verses. Chapter 40 of Isaiah, and the last verse, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How many times? We know that shall means absolute in the Word of God, right? So let's read that again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall absolutely renew their strength. They shall absolutely mount up with wings as eagles. I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe in this life, we may not see ourselves mounting up with wings. Maybe in the new body we're gonna get, we might see that. But we know that we could absolutely, we shall run, absolutely run and not be weary. We can do that. We shall absolutely walk and not faint. That's a promise of God. But it starts with waiting upon the Lord, who will absolutely do what? Renew our strength. A lot of absolutes in that verse, but it all is on waiting upon the Lord. So let's not think of wait as a dirty word anymore, okay? Let's just remember that God says, wait on me, I will give you the strength. Trust me, delight in me, commit your way to me, and just wait, and I will supply. So that's what I want to share with you guys. Bless you.
Yay.
Awesome. Very good.
I want to go to a pretty familiar section of scriptures in Hebrews, chapter 4, but I want to kind of set the context and start in verse 9. And it says, chapter 4, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. And then the next verse says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God, this is the main verse, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. The word piercing means cut deeply. It cuts deeply. The word of God is piercing, even to the dividing or the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. And the discerner means it gives us the ability to judge well in a Christian context. That is what it gives us. It gives us the ability to judge well even when a perception may be an absence of that judgment. We may not perceive it in our own thoughts, but if our thoughts are locked upon God's Word and we control the things we're thinking by going to the Word, then the Word of God can help us discern a situation that we may not have all the information on. But because the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, God can show us a spiritual answer to questions that we may not have all the information to. I thought that was a great example of the definition of that word discerner. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God is who we give account to. And when we take our thoughts to the Word of God, you know, like it says in Romans chapter 12, that we are to what? You guys?
Renew our minds.
We are to, what? Go ahead.
Renew our minds.
We are to renew our minds. What do we renew our minds to? We take our thoughts, our mind, and we take it to the Word of God, and we see what God's Word says about a certain situation or condition, and then we can be transformed. God does that transforming as we take our thoughts and our inability to understand everything sometimes we're dealing with and allow God's Word to be the discerner of our thoughts and intents of the heart. And then that transformation that the renewed mind brings us is what God is able to do with us as we turn to Him and we take our thoughts and intent to the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is quick and powerful. It is living. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is an amazing thing that God has shown us about His Word. His Word is one of the most important things that we can understand in our lives. And it is to our benefit to spend the time and make the effort to do the things it takes, the time, the studying of God's Word to be able to walk really with a great spiritual perception and understanding, which keeps us ahead of the game when the adversary is trying to deceive us or trick us. So that's what I wanted to share with you, and I also wanted to remind you that, you know, we have a high priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and He understood the things that we would go through. And He is such a great example of how He would go to God in every situation so that He could be obedient 100% of His life and pay that high price that He paid for you and me. And it behooves us to look at His example and be Christ-like in everything we do. So I love you guys, and I'm blessed to be able to share with you and to hear your voices. And I hope this was a blessing and a little bit bigger look at that great verse that we all know from our heart, Hebrews 4:12.
All right. That's great. Thank you. Well, I guess I'll be the one to kind of close things out after these wonderful folks have shared their hearts. So I want to take your Bibles to go to Philippians chapter 4. It's got to be one of my more favorite sections of the scriptures. Now, isn't it interesting that Philippians was written as a reproof epistle? And I don't know exactly, but I know the word joy and rejoicing is used many, many, many times. And some of us have been taught in years gone by that Philippians was written because the believers had lost the joy of service. And they had gotten really down and probably kind of burned out by serving. And maybe that led to some of their anxiety, which God addresses in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which you're very familiar with. Most of you can quote it. About not being anxious for anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But I want to share tonight on something that we kind of use jokingly in conversations, maybe in sort of a sarcastic way, because we go, whatever. You ever said that to yourself or to somebody else? Whatever. Talk to the hand. And, you know, maybe anxiety and lack of peace leads to that kind of attitude. I mean, we say it jokingly, but sometimes I think in our hearts we get so frustrated and frazzled that we're like, whatever. But isn't it interesting that the word whatever is used seven times in Philippians 4, 8, and 9? And I thought it'd be just good to wrap this thing up here before we hear from God and look at the whatevers in Philippians. So this is from the NIV. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So the next time you get to a point in your mind where you're saying, whatever, and it gets said quite a bit, actually, think of these things that God talks about. Hey, you know what? Don't be anxious. Be at peace. And look, focus your minds on what is true, what is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. If there's anything else that's excellent or praiseworthy, you know what would be a good idea? Think about those things. There's so much other distractive and nasty, discomforting types of things to get focused on that I think God knows what would be the greatest blessing for us. Mm-hmm. And so the next time you kind of want to say whatever in your own mind, think about these seven times this is used in the context of anxiety and peace. Yeah. And you know, something I think we can learn there from that. So I'm going to sign off, and then we'll do the manifestations here together. So God bless you.